This is the Cross Point Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas.
Ed loves karaoke. Well, hey, good morning. I didn't say good morning earlier. I'm David Knight. For those of you who are new here, I'm the DNA Accelerator here at Cross Point. It's just a fancy name for I get to make screens like this. I don't know what that means. I'm glad you guys showed up through the snow. It wasn't as bad down here as it was for us up in Frisco, but still not a lot of fun. Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation." How many of you feel that way? You know, maybe life is not exactly what you thought it was going to be. Maybe life's just not going quite the direction you'd hoped. And the problem is we were never promised that. We were always promised a life of abundance, you know. For those of you who are Christ followers, have been for a while, maybe you've heard that phrase, you know, that Jesus promises a life of abundance. I remember I traveled with a magic show for about 3 years, and every night I heard, Jesus promises you a life of abundance. But I feel as though most of us don't really get to live that out. I feel as though most of us feel a little trapped by our circumstances. Maybe we're not quite sure what the right step is. And so, consequently, we've been in the middle of this series called Fueling Revolution, which is all about how do we get our lives to that place where it's actually feeling abundant, and how do we fuel the revolution that God has started in us. In fact, the subtitle for the series is called Becoming All God Intended, and we've been working on this theory that Pastor Dave has, and we're going to bring it up on the screen here, which says character is developed by responding to God, which is influenced by habits, which get formed by practices, which emerge from beliefs. That's kind of the working theory we've been going with on this whole series. And so in the first week, we took a look at our lives. We re-examined our lives and said, what do I believe? What do I really think about life in this world? And then the second week, we took a look and said, how can I reorder my life to represent those beliefs, to really reflect what I truly believe in my life? And then last week, we looked at practices that we could retrain ourselves and retrain the habits that we're doing. So we're putting practices in our lives like prayer or Bible study or maybe journaling that can help fuel us as we move closer and closer to God. And so this week, what I'd like to talk about is, so we're developing this character. Things are going well. We've got these practices in our lives. We're feeling really strong. Well, what do we do with it? You know, like I said before, if spiritual development and character development is all about just us, what good is it? So this week we're going to look at, now that we have growth, what do we do about it? And I like to start with this little story. As most of you know, Kylie and I like to do Facebook and Twitter, and so we'll put out little status updates every now and again. Some of you have read them, and God, what are they thinking? One week, Kylie and I were in a really great spot, man. There were so many great things going on in our lives. We felt so spiritually close to God, and we both kind of put up on our Facebook a status that said, "Dreaming God Dreams." And for us, basically what that means is thinking about the things that God's laying on our hearts, the big, crazy things that only He can accomplish, and dreaming about those, and thinking about those, and thinking about where we fit in all that. Well, after we put that up, a friend of ours wrote, "Does God dream?" Which is a valid question. Does God dream? And so I started thinking about that. And for this series, we've been using this book by John Burke called Soul Revolution. It's kind of fueling revolution. And as I was reading through it, I came across something that he said, and I just thought this was so beautiful. He said, God does dream. And God's dream is the dream of a responsive, connected community that he can live in and through to tangibly show the world what he's like. Think about it. That's God's dream. God's dream is this body of Christ working together to be agents of transformation and restoration in this world. Most of you remember the whole story that we went through not too long ago, and we talked about how every one of us was created in the image of God, Imago Dei, right? Now, who remembers what the three characteristics of being created Imago Dei were? Co-creator, that's one. Was that? God connected, that's right. And what was that? In his image, or God reflectors, right. We were God reflectors, God connected, and co-creators with God. Perfect. So, how are we doing on that? How are we doing on being those the Imago Dei, the image of God. Well, a thought that kind of came to my mind not too long ago was, if you want to know what God looks like, I mean, how many of you are sitting there and you go, you know, I really want to see God's face. You know, I really want to know what he looks like. I want to behold him. Well, it's actually pretty simple. If what the Bible says is true, you can look in the face of someone else and see God. God's reflection in that person's face. Look in the mirror, in fact, and you can see a reflection of God. But of course, there's more to it than just looking like God. So we ask, are we connected? Are we connected to God the way we're asked to be? God connected. And if we look at the scriptures, Ephesians 4, 15 to 16, do we have that one up on the screen? I don't remember. Yes. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Remember that piece. I'll come back to that in a moment. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Are we connected to God? Now, we started off this morning's message with that Scrubs video, right? Floating head doctor, which is funny. But I think it's kind of an interesting way to look at this. J.D. imagines a world where he can separate his head from his body and he can do two things at once, right? But that doesn't always work out so well. Yeah, you know, head says, body, come! And what does the body do? The body and starts running off, and because he's not really connected to the head and really can't see where he's going, punches into walls, knocks himself out. Or he picks up the girl, right? He runs her, boom, 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 right across the door jams. He bangs her head. And then I love when he puts the steak into the dishwasher. But I think that's a really great image of what we don't want to be. If we are the body of Christ, as we sang in the opening song, you know, if we're the body, are we connected to the head? Are we letting him move in and through us and helping to guide where we're going? And I loved just a couple of interesting connections there. If you listen to the opening song of Scrubs, it says, I can't do this all on my own, kind of calling back to what we talked about earlier. And if you listen to the music that plays behind the body getting up and running, it's the Lone Ranger. So he's not really connected. He's not really working together with somebody. And I think sometimes that can happen with us. As the body, we call ourselves the body of Christ. And if we're not really connected day by day, if we're not living in those moments of God connectedness as we've been trying to talk about in this series, I think when we hear God's call, we don't really know what that means. And so we go after it with some abandon, but we're maybe not doing the right thing. Maybe we're making a little more damage than we're meaning to. If we're not connected to the head when he calls, we miss the mark. And as I talked about earlier, fortunately we're not in this alone. We have people around us, but it goes deeper than that. We also have God working with us. And some of you may have heard the passage in Matthew 11:30, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. God's working with us if we're allowing him to. If we're staying connected to him, he's going to work with us. He's going to help us along in this journey. I read a great kind of summation of what that passage is talking about. It says, the yoke emphasizes the challenges, work, and difficulties of partnering with Christ in life. Responsibilities weigh us down, even the effort to stay true to God. But Jesus' yoke remains easy compared to the crushing alternative. Jesus doesn't offer a life of luxurious ease. The yoke is still an oxen's tool for hard work. This is the beautiful part. It's a shared yoke with the weight falling on bigger shoulders than yours. You don't have to do this on your own. You don't have to do this by yourself. You have people around you who can help you. You have God above who wants to help you. I want all of you to close your eyes for just a moment. And I'm going to read a section from Matthew 11 as it's read in the message. And I want you to visualize these words as God speaking them to you. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Now, I don't know about you, but that phrase, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you, man, that gives me such hope. You know, he's not going to do anything that I'm not uniquely created for. We've talked a lot about knowing your spiritual gifts, and we've put online a little resource that you can go on and figure out what your spiritual gifts are, figure out how you're created, figure out the way God has crafted you. It's really interesting. God will place you exactly where you need to be for the job that you're meant to do in the way that you were created, because he knows how you were created, because he created you. And he will make sure that you're right where you need to be. And it's about all of us working together, doing the things he's asking us to do, responding to his call. It's really interesting, though, when body parts don't work, it gets a little tough. Nancy, you can probably understand at the moment. She's, you know, sorry to point you out there, but, you know, you've got a bum leg there. Now, one of two things can happen when a body part doesn't work. Either it can get, the rest of your parts can get stronger, or the rest of your parts can get weaker. They all work together. And if one body part is hurting, the rest of you is going to hurt. Let me give you an example. Some of you who know me know this about me. Some of you don't. I can only see out of one eye. I can only see out of my left eye. When I was a child, I was born with a cataract. And the doctors pulled the cataract out, and along with it, the lens. So I can't see out of my right eye. I can kind of see some shapes and colors, but really it's pretty useless. In fact, I went to the doctor a few years ago, and they went and did one of those little scans on it, and they said, yeah, the muscle's pretty much atrophied. It hasn't done anything in years. It's pretty much gone. I get by okay, but some things are a little tougher. Some things I don't get to experience at all. For example, I can't go see a 3D movie, you know? Like when Avatar came out and everybody's like, oh man, you gotta go see it in 3D. Okay. Didn't quite work. And that's not a lot of fun. But, I want to tell you kind of a funny story. One day I was driving to work, and I was listening to the radio, and on the radio there was... What does that look for? I was driving to work, yes. Shut up. The joke is that I don't work. Yeah, thanks. I was driving to work, and I was listening to the radio, and on the radio, the host was talking about a lawsuit that was happening between UPS and some of its drivers. And basically what happened was UPS had let some of its drivers go because they only had one eye. And the drivers were upset about this. They felt that was kind of discrimination. And the radio host was going on and on and on about, well, of course these guys shouldn't be out there driving. They've only got one eye. They're in and out of traffic. They don't know what they're doing. That's just crazy to let them drive those big trucks. Listen to this all the way to work. And I got to work, and I was early. And so I went in, and I decided to make a phone call to the radio station. So I called the radio station, and the lovely screener on the other line answered. She goes, hi, thanks for calling W, whatever radio station it was. You want to talk about those one-eyed, one-horn-flying UPS drivers? And I said, well, I'm one of them. She goes, huh? I said, well, I don't work for UPS, but I can only see out of one eye, and I drive. She goes, oh, well, we got to get you on the air. I said, oh, okay. So she put me on the air with the co-host, with the radio host, and he's, you know, going on and on, you know, the way they do. And I said, well, you know, I understand that some people, maybe they shouldn't be driving. Yeah, I'll give you that. But not all people with one eye aren't driving properly. At the time, actually even still today, I've never caused an accident in a car. I've never had an accident. That was my fault. And at the time, all of my friends had. Every one of my friends had been in an accident because they were driving recklessly, or, you know, they just hit something. And basically what it was is that because I can't see out of this eye, I'm generally a little more careful Kylie might disagree with that, but I'm generally a little more careful than the average driver about what's going on around me because I have to pay so much attention. Basically, the rest of my body has to work overtime because my one eye doesn't work. And sometimes it's tough, you know. Sometimes I get to the end of a day and you know, this eye has been working really hard all day and this eye has done nothing. And so at the end of the day, this eye's like, okay, I'm really tired. Just let me stop looking at the computer. But I get by. I get by. But it's tough. It's tough when parts of the body are not working together. And we have to remember that, once again, we're all working together. All of us are in this together. We're all meant to play our part. We're all meant to play the part. Can you go back to the Ephesians passage for me for just a moment? As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. As each one of you figures out exactly who you're meant to be, exactly what you're meant to do, you can help others with you. We can all grow together. And ultimately, if we're God reflectors and we're God connected, and then we're co-creators, well, what do we get to be co-creators of? We get to be co-creators, agents of restoration in this world. We get to choose our own adventure in this world. God's going to call us. He's going to say, I've got a job for you. We have a choice. We can follow that. We can seek out what he's asking us to do and really go for it. And sometimes it's tough. I won't deny that. Sometimes God will say to you, you know, I want you to go talk to this person. And you'll be like, really? I don't want to talk to that person. Or I read a story the other day about a friend of mine who was in the grocery line, and for some reason, he just felt that God was telling him, you need to buy groceries for the person in front of you. And so he did. Now, we have no idea what ramifications that's going to have, but my friend was so connected to what God wanted him to do that he was willing to do it. What are we going to do when head says, body, come? What are we going to do? I love this verse in Proverbs 3:26. It's from the Message again. I know some people have a hard time with the Message. I love the way the Message puts some things. It's not always perfect, but just sometimes the way it puts it, I just love it. And it says this, never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. I mean, that's just beautiful. Think about that. Your hand is God's hand for someone else. You get to be God's hand, God reflecting into that person's life in that moment when he's calling you. You guys have your hand still? Pull them out for just a second. I kind of love seeing them go up like that. That's awesome. Here's what I want you to do. Now, hopefully, you know, most of you participated in that exercise and really thought about, you know, who you could help and who needs, and you know, who could help you. Here's what I want you to do. Some point this week, I want you to write on that hand. Yeah, write the name of the person that you want to help or that you need help from. Write that on there and then just reflect on that person daily. Just think about him or her or whatever. Because you get to be God's hands in that person's life. And they get to be God's hands into your life. The one other thing I want to mention today, and then I'll stop talking, thank goodness, is we've been trying to put some resources up on the web for each week of this series. And we've got what I think is a really fun one this week. If you go online tonight, you'll see a resource that is a little devotional and a little exercise. And I'd really love for you guys to try it. All right? Some of it's going to be a little uncomfortable at first, but I really want you just to take the time, you know. And there's also a bonus section on there. It's not like there's points or anything for it, but there's the bonus, I really want to go further with this. Give that a shot, all right? So, well, let's pray. We're going to bring the band back up here for just a moment. Father God, first of all, I thank you for everybody who came here today. I thank you that you kept them safe in the snow, and I pray that all their plants are okay, that they covered them. I thank you, Lord, that we get to work together. I thank you that you have called each of us to be yours, to reflect your face into this world, to be agents of restoration. And I just pray that you help us to stay connected to you moment by moment, day by day, and help us to seek your will for our lives. Show us those lives that you want us to impact. and help us to do that. In your name we pray. Amen.
This has been the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas. For more information about our church, visit www.crosspoint.com.